Mini episode 767 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 767. It's your favorite football talkers anywhere, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, breaking down NFL Week 6 for you. And last week on the overall plays, a good week for me, even as the big three and the lock picks continued to crumble. 9-4-1 overall, bringing me to 37-38-2 for the season. So climbing within breathing room anyways of profitability. Unfortunately, on the big three, 1-2, bringing me to 4-11 for the year. And on my lock pick, 0-1, bringing me to 0-5 on the year for Kyle Ross. 3-3 on the week, 13-15 for the year. And that is my cue to bring in the man whose fitness regimen is going so well, we have to put up the purple cruiserweight ring ropes for him, Kyle Ross.
I don't know how well it's going. I just got back from the gym. I kind of just gave up, to be honest with you, after a while. I was like, this is going nowhere. I'm like, who am I kidding? I'm going to eat something horrible on the way home. What am I doing? I need to get home, sit on my ass.
Fear of the mind, buddy.
Look up football and look up more football stats and keep staying two games under 500. Doug, been a frustrating year, real frustrating year so far. But a lot of plays. I don't know if it's you and your propensity to always pick all the games or something. I've been giving out, 28 plays I've given out them through 5 weeks. That's kind of on the
That's
high
right.
side for me. I'm giving out a lot this week, though. I think I got about like 6 or 7, so might as well get to it, including the Thursday game,
all right,
where
well,
I'm sure everyone knows where I'm going to go.
You would think so. The Thursday game, we're going to kind of gloss over that mofo as per usual because this show will be going up right around kickoff time for that. But we start this week in San Diego at what has long been known as Qualcomm Stadium there in potentially its last year. It's an 8:25 kickoff on CBS, the NFL Network, the 4-1 Broncos at the 1-4 Chargers. Nance Sims Wolfson on the call. Denver is laying 3 points in this one, up from 2.5 initially. And again, I think our instincts on this one are probably a lot in alignment. You saw last week, Denver kind of prone to, once you get Simeon not necessarily in the game there, which looks like he won't be for this one as well, things not quite running the way that they had been running offensively there, because they've been kind of a precision machine so far this year. Not necessarily big plays per se, but just on kind of keeping everything going in the right direction. You look at a game like this, San Diego is quietly a team that's not very easy to run the football on. So that's just going to throw Denver's issues, I think, into starker kind of disarray here. Chargers overdue to make something happen. I'm on San Diego tonight.
Yeah, this is a recommendation for me, Chargers plus the points. I think they're going to take the game outright. We should mention Denver with the interim head coach, Joe DeCamillis, filling in for Gary Kubiak. And then San Diego, you started to touch on it. I'll kind of follow up. The bad luck is just almost unprecedented here for Phillip Rivers and company. This is a team that has led in the fourth quarter of all 5 games, yet they've lost 4 of them. The last couple weeks have been just particularly gut-wrenching, how they gave the game away against the Saints with the 2 late fumbles, and the last week with the blown field goal attempt against Oakland. They did cover still by 0.5 points, though, which was nice for me. Got me at least to 500 for the week. 10 straight AFC West losses for the Chargers. Doesn't that have to come to an end, Richard U. Morris? Points.
You'd think so.
Points in my first recommendation of the week here, San Diego. I believe, and we can always go back and delete these things if they don't come to fruition. San Diego will be this year's Kansas City Chiefs, Rick Morris. I have not given up hope that this team can still won't rally back and win the AFC West. I'm telling you right now, I'm not giving up hope.
Okay. Again, they've suffered a lot of injuries since you first made that pick, so you're kind of off the hook in that way. It's not the same team necessarily that you picked at that point in time.
Yeah.
That's very gutsy. You always talk about how you run away from some of these things. You're staying with this one. And I'll tell you what, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with Detroit and Chicago when they played. I remember this specifically, and that there was a long futility history recently between the Bears versus the Lions. And you and I looked at it like there's not really a reason for that, though. Kind of the same thing here. The Chargers had a bad year last year, but this record of futility dates back even beyond that. There's no reason the Chargers should be so putrid against the rest of the AFC West.
And let me follow that up here. While they've lost 10 division games in a row straight up, they've actually covered the spread in the last five, including last week.
Okay.
So, again, speaks to somewhat of their ineptitude in close games. They're basically, you know, just losing them all close, and they're generally underdogs and, you know, keeping them close. And we've seen it already. They led Kansas City big in week one, blew that one in overtime, covered by half a point. Same thing last week against Oakland. I just think it's the Chargers' time. If not, if they were to lose this game, it might be bye-bye Mike McCoy also to do
Could
a complete
be.
180 on my earlier thoughts. There.
Yeah, could be. I think the rope is getting shorter for him, certainly. Going to the Sunday games, and of course this week on the bye, it is Tampa Bay and Minnesota. We start on Sunday with a rematch of Super Bowl 35. The New York Giants are at home. They are looking to avenge that brutal loss in the Super Bowl. The 3-2 Ravens are coming in to face the 2-3 Giants. 1 o'clock Eastern time, MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford on CBS. Greg Dumble, Trent Green, Jamie Erdahl on the call. The Giants are just laying the standard Vegas. So we don't want to take a stand here. 3 points at home. So you kind of start to delve into this a little bit more. Both teams on a little bit of a recent tailspin for the Ravens. It's 2 losses in a row for the Giants. It's 3 in a row. And one of the tougher games of the week, I thought, really, to kind of get my arms around. Ultimately, I'm going to be on the Ravens. I'm going to say that the Giants are unsuccessful in their bid for revenge from that Super Bowl at the beginning of this millennium because, just long story short, I feel that the issues that the Giants have right now are probably a little bit more involved than what the Ravens have. You've got an up-and-down situation ongoing. I'm not sure we've seen the last of the issues with Odell Beckham Jr., so the Giants just seem a little bit more unsettled of a team right now than are the Ravens, in my estimation. So I'll take the Ravens to a cover.
This is a game I'm not going to play. It's interesting, though, again, to build off what you just said. These were two teams that the math was unkind to them last year, a lot of close losses for both. And we saw a reversal of that trend temporarily in the first couple weeks. Baltimore won all their games close. The Giants won their first two games close. But then, you know, Baltimore, 2 close losses. The Giants have had a couple close losses. Then they were also dominated by Minnesota on Monday Night Football. I'm not sure that the better team isn't getting points here, to be honest with you. The Giants were very lucky for some who had bet them early last week to cover against Green Bay. That number was 7.5 early. It got inside of 7 by the end of the week, but they put up barely 200 yards of total offense in Green Bay. Meanwhile, Baltimore outgained Oakland by a lot when they lost to them by 1 at home. Then against Washington last week, I don't know if you or anyone listening here was really paying close attention to that game. I kind of was, and there was a weird play where Baltimore got a turnover and looked to take it to the house, but they fumbled through the end zone. Washington got it back and then went down the field and got a field goal. And then at the end of the game, Flacco threw what appeared to be a game-winning touchdown, but that was reversed on replay. So the Ravens very easily could be 5-0. So, yeah, if you force me to make a pick, I'm probably with you, but this is not going to recommendation. I'll say this. Whoever wins this game, still in good shape for the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In their respective conference. Kind of an important non-conference game for playoff positioning, which is kind of weird to say. Usually non-conference games have very little bearing on playoff positioning. But, you know, I see both of these teams, regardless of who wins or loses here, staying in the wild card conversation moving forward. I think both are going to improve. Both teams are going to improve after this, no matter who gets the win.
Right. The Giants, because of the division they're in, I was about to agree with you, and the Ravens, I would say more so in terms of the general wild card picture, because the team we're talking about next right now has a pretty good grip on the AFC North. It's the 4-1 Steelers at the 1-4 Dolphins, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, Florida on CBS. Spiro Dita, Solomon Wolcott, Chris Fisher on the call. Pittsburgh is laying 7.5. There's that danger inflection point up over a touchdown. Started at 6.5, so it got bet up over a touchdown. So this is a game where I flash back to last week, a battle of the very, very, very good versus the very, very, very bad New England and Cleveland. I, at the time, thought that, again, New England would defy the odds. As you have pointed out, that generally teams have a hard time going on the road, covering these bigger margins. I was on the Browns last week. The law of averages makes me think it's going to be the Dolphins this week. And then I take a little bit of a closer look here, and I look to see that if you want to hang with the Steelers, if you want to be able to get a backdoor on them, they are vulnerable to yardage in that secondary. If you can chuck the ball around a lot, you got a chance of getting at least the backdoor on them. And I look at Ryan Tannehill going up against them, and this is not the horse you want to ride in the battle. Guy who's already got 7 interceptions thus far this year. The Steelers have only given up 3 interceptions on the course of the year. That seems like it's due for a little bit of progression to the mean right there, thanks to USA Today Sports Weekly for that number. So I'm going to be on the Steelers in this one here. My urge is to be on Miami to go against last week, but I think Pittsburgh's just going to blow them out of the water.
I'm on Miami with a recommendation. You look, I was the fool on the Browns last week. We'll talk about that game, I think, a little bit more later on. It was just a comedy of errors on the Cleveland side. Miami really needs to show up. Now, that doesn't mean they will, but, I mean, you look at their last couple games, they haven't been good. They were really outclassed by Cincinnati on a Thursday night, and then they just looked like the worst team at home against Tennessee, which is not a good sign for first-year head coach Adam Gates. There's been a little buyback on the Dolphins, which makes me feel good. This line actually got as high as 9 at one point during the week, which was all public money, but it looks like people like myself who like the dogs have decided to get on that number, and it's now down to 7.5. But you give me more than a touchdown at home, a desperate Dolphins team. I don't think they'll win, but coming off 4 straight non-covers, I do think they get the cash. I'll recommend Miami, although they are not a good football team, and Pittsburgh is a very good football team.
Yeah, and that's what would make me queasy
also,
if I was betting on my Dolphins here. Again, as I said before, I love the Dolphins, I hate the Steelers. This is all brains, no heart on the pick for me.
Okay, I wanted to bring one thing up here, Ricky. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there or try to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Pittsburgh, potentially, I know the look-ahead factor isn't that big of a deal in the NFL compared to college, but Pittsburgh's got New England at home next week.
Ooh, okay.
So, you know,
that's a good one.
Might that game not be on the coaching staff's mind compared to this one? Just saying.
Yeah, could be. Could very well be.
Also,
heavy public cash
on the Steelers, too. Nobody likes the Dolphins in this game.
That's true. Two teams that, if they're already not getting dirt shoveled on them, the loser in this game certainly will be getting it. It's the 1-3 Jags at the 1-4 Bears. Incidentally, two teams I picked as wild card teams this year. 1 o'clock Eastern time from Soldier Field in Chicago on CBS. Andrew Catalan, Steve Kasker, Steve Berline on the call in this one. Chicago, a very short home favorite. It is up to 2.5. It had opened at 1.5. And, again, you and I have talked about this previously, joked about the home field disadvantage with the Bears. And that's, again, my first thought going into a game is a very beatable team, somebody that they are due to kind of reverse that against a little bit. But much like Pittsburgh and Miami, I take a closer look. I come to a different conclusion because I look at the one thing that, again, statistically anyways, against the pass, the Jaguars have not allowed an awful lot in the way of yardage, under 200 yards per game. And I'll tell you what, this is a thing here, too, from painful experience as a Browns fan, I can tell you, the Brian Hoyer bubble is right about due to burst, people. I've seen it before. There's, you know, this engagement has a limited run, as they say on Broadway. And for all the good numbers that he put up statistically, it's about due to go the other way. Give me the Jags in this one to shut down Hoyer and the Bears.
I'm not playing this game. Like you, it sounds, my initial reaction was to go with the Bears because this home futility there just has to get better. They looked like the better team at Indianapolis last week. They had a pretty substantial edge in total yards. I mean, they put over 500 total yards, admittedly against a pretty bad defense that Indy has. But still, 500 yards in this league. Jacksonville, remember, coming off a bye, so they're fresh. The only thing, though, that makes me not want to endorse the Jags is I look at Chicago and some of the games they have coming up. They're at Green Bay, and then they got to play Minnesota here off a bye. I mean, oof, yeah. Looking at the Bears' schedule, it's tough to find wins, man. And if they don't win this game, this season goes south in a heartbeat. Not that anyone in the Windy City cares because they got the Cubs. I wish the city of Cleveland would take a similar tack on Sundays as well and care about the local baseball team, not the football team. But that's a different podcast for a different day, quite frankly. And I just bumbled a lot about a game that I don't want to play.
All right. Well, from there, we move to the O.J. Simpson Bowl. It's the 1-4 49ers at the 3-2 Bills. 1 o'clock Eastern time from New Era Field in Orchard Park, New York, on Fox. Dick Stockton, David Deal, Christina Pink on the call. Surprised they're not using A.J. Collins as even a sideline reporter, but that's neither here nor there. The Bills in this one are laying 9 points, up from 7 initially, so been a big swing on there. And one of the things that's funny, I've talked about this previously, USA Today Sports Weekly, which in past seasons has been vanilla to the point of obnoxiousness. I love the publication, but vanilla to the point of obnoxiousness on sticking their neck out on calls. They've gone the other way this year. They are totally Joe Public. Their pick for this game is Bills 37, 49ers 13, which couldn't be more of a public kind of a thing here. And again, I said to you off here, I'm offended that we live in a world where the Bills are spotting 9 points to anybody. You talk about a bubble as though we've completely forgotten all the issues that this team has, as though they've been magically wiped away in the last 3 weeks. You know what? The 49ers are a dumpster fire themselves. But, again, change a quarterback. I don't believe that putting Mr. Unpatriot in there is necessarily going to do a whole lot.
Oh,
here. But,
Jesus.
It never hurts to shake things up a little bit in that way. At least there's no present film on him for the most part in the Chip Kelly system. Chance for the 49ers to, as I always talk about with the bad teams here, do a penis punch on somebody and at least sneak in the back door. Give me the 49ers getting an outrageous 9 points against Buffalo.
Buffalo was a nice winner for me as they went to the West Coast and beat an overrated Rams team last week. That was fun. I did endorse them as a wild card team at the start of the year, so a win here, and that's looking pretty smart. They'd be 4-2. I do think they're going to win the game, but yeah, the change at quarterback. It's so nice to see Colin Kaepernick, a man who just really embodies the American tradition of protest. We have to remember this is a country founded on protest in 1776. So, you know, when I see Colin Kaepernick, it reminds me of a George Washington crossing the Delaware. And, you know, I can't help but think he'll be in upstate New York this week. You know, what else can you say but USA, USA, when you take a look at a proud American like Colin Kaepernick, who has just done so much, not just for his team, but really for the country.
Well, I hope the Bills defense does a George Washington Carver on him since you just said that, okay? So that's my feelings on the game.
No recommendation on that game, but I wanted to just clarify. No recommendation from me on that game. But, yeah, the 49ers haven't been close the last couple weeks. It just kind of feels like this is an inflated number because the Bills' three-game win streak. So I could see him sneaking in the back door. But the Bills are going to win here. The 49ers are very – the 49ers, to me, are the second-worst team in the league. I think we all know who the worst is.
Absolutely. In my most recent power rankings, everybody can check them out every week at the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, same place you find the show, the fdhlounge.blogspot.com. I've got the 49ers 31, as you do, Browns 32, Miami 30, and a line above that. To me, those are clearly the worst three teams in the league right now. A tier of their own, a shite tier, as it will. We go to two teams that escape that, but maybe not by much. The aforementioned overrated Rams at 3-2 at the 2-3 Lions, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Ford Field in Detroit on Fox. Justin Kutcher, Charles Davis / Chris Spielman, Peter Schrager on the call. Come on, USA Today Sports Weekly. Tell us who it's going to be. Don't give us one guy
or another
guy.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, because I listened to this. I remembered. What's it? No, you're wrong. Your anal retentiveness and your strict constructionalism have blinded you here. So
okay.
I was listening to the game last week that had this announced team on it. It's all three of them.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Why don't they put a comma instead of a slash? That's on them for their punctuation.
Who cares about a comma? Because I don't know, because it's like, Fred. Get the hell, God. I hope there's no line on the game this week. I hope there's a major injury in the next 10 minutes while we're recording, and then Vegas takes the line off the board.
Doesn't matter, because as long as there's a line at showtime here, that's all that matters. The line is 3. It had been Detroit laying 2.5 initially.
I'm taking them all off the board.
I talked about it before. Giants and Ravens, I said, was just about the toughest game. I think this was probably the toughest game for me to look at this week here. In kind of a coin flip situation, Rams having to travel, you know, for a 1 o'clock game here. Ultimately, at the end of the day, although he's looked a little bit better in terms of the one loss record than he quite frankly should, Case Keenum versus Matt Stafford, you know, my coin flip goes to the much better quarterback. Give me Stafford. Give me the Lions covering at home.
You know, it's funny. You always rip Vegas for their three-point lines, yet the two games that have three-point lines, you have been sure to say, oh, those are the toughest to call this week. Very interesting how that says. I really hope they pull the entire board down in the next 5 minutes. I just hope they do. I hope the entire betting board just goes blank just to piss you off. I don't like this game at all. This is a really hard game to call. You know, Detroit coming off the upset of Philadelphia. I think we were both on that last week. I know I was. I believe you were with me on that one.
Right.
You know, that was kind of a sloppy game. They did get off to an early lead, but it was tough for them to hold on. I was thinking the whole way they were going to blow it. The Rams, I just don't have a lot of faith in. I hate their coach. That's well documented on this program. So I'm laying off here.
By the way, I think it was another guy from Motown. I'm going to paraphrase him here. As far as me needing to have a line on every game, let me just say, Kyle Ross, the OCD won't let me be. So that's what I'll ascribe this to anyway.
Okay, I hear you.
My amateur diagnosis of myself. Yeah.
Okay, very good. That was very good.
Thank you. I went on to WebMD to diagnose myself with that, so it has to be true. Up next, we've talked about them derisively before. It's the 0-5 Browns at the 2-3 Titans, 1 o'clock Eastern time from Nissan Stadium in Nashville on CBS. Tom McCarthy and Adam Archuleta have been sentenced to watch this game by CBS. The Titans, as you indicated before, are laying 7 points up from 5.5 initially. And this is another one where, again, I think you and I have the same instinct on a game like this because much the same before as what I said about Buffalo, but even truer, the Titans laying a touchdown to anybody, I just think, again, that's bound to kind of be inflated. The Browns are the epitome of the annoying team that slips in the back door, gets the cover in a game like this. And their games have been really kind of wild and unpredictable thus far this year as far as how they've played out. Much of them have been anyways. How can you feel confident laying a touchdown with a weird kind of chaos team like the Browns in the mix here? I'll take the Browns to cover the 7. I'd be very surprised if they won, but they're going to cover.
Yeah, this is a recommendation for me on the Browns, and you pretty much summed it up. It's all about just kind of going against the Titans in this price range. Pretty unprecedented here. I can't remember the last time they were asked to lay a touchdown against anybody. Obviously, if it was going to be any team, it's going to be the 2016 Cleveland Browns, your 2016 Cleveland Browns, Rick Morris. you talk about their season to date, the Browns. Last week, obviously, it was a disaster against the Patriots, but what a comedy of errors with the, you know, multiple quarterbacks getting hurt. Tom Brady, shame on me, he was in midseason form, really made the Browns look bad. But other than that, the Browns have been kind of competitive. The fact they're 1-4 against the number, I think it's a little unfair to them. I mean, you know, they showed up against Baltimore. They showed up against Washington. They took Miami to overtime. And again, you know, Miami, that was a game where, you know, they were getting 10, and it was a similar thing. It was just playing against the favorite. And, you know, Tennessee, I remember there was a game earlier in the year you and I both agreed where we didn't agree with the Detroit Lions being favored by as many as they were against the Titans. Tennessee won that game outright. I just think that you know, Tennessee to win two consecutive games by any kind of margin is asking a lot. And for some odd reason, they just play worse at home.
Right.
If you check the numbers, they're a much worse team at home. Now, what's interesting is you look at their next 3 weeks, Ricky. You've always poo-pooed the Titans and made fun of me for saying that there's got to be some market correction with this team forthcoming. Their next 3 weeks, including this week, Cleveland, Indy, Jacksonville, all at home. Those are winnable games for the Tennessee Titans in a bad division.
That's true. That's undeniably true.
But
and
yeah, that said, I'm taking the Browns in the points here.
A division that we would have put down with that one at the beginning of the year, and we may still at some point in the year, but we wouldn't right now, is the NFC East. So up next, it's the 3-2 Redskins at the 3-1 Eagles. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, on Fox. Five-time lounge guest Kenny Albert teams with John Lynch and the delicious Pam Oliver here. Oh, it's kind of a hybrid crew here. No Moose Johnston, he's on another game. That's what you get with the playoffs on Fox. This is the disruptive time of the year for some of the broadcast teams. But this is one where Washington started off laying 1.5 up to +2.5 at this point in time. Another game where I wobbled and went back and forth, and for a lot of times, again, for as much as I like to tease you about making your picks for non-X's and O reasons, I'm going to actually echo you on this game and make it for non-X's and O reasons. That, again, anytime a team starts off as the dog and becomes the favorite, go the other way in a game like that. So this is one where, again, the Redskins are now getting the points. I'm going to be on the Redskins.
I like your philosophy there. It's a very good philosophy. Who taught you that?
Thank you.
Smart guy.
that is you.
Yeah, I don't like either of these teams. I think they're both overrated, so I'm staying off.
Okay.
That being said, even though I agree with your philosophy. Yeah, I mean, I would love to join you, but I think Washington has been very fortunate to win some of these recent games. And, you know, the Eagles, yeah, okay, their 3-0 start was a bit of a mirage, but they didn't play horrible in Detroit last week, at least for the final three quarters they didn't.
Right. So I would agree with that. And, these teams are overinflated, I'd say, at this point in time in terms of their records and perceptions of them. But somebody has to win, as they say, although there's always the chance of getting a 75-minute game that ends indecisively. But those don't come around very often. So and even
well,
if that
Donovan
was the case,
McNabb wouldn't know.
Well, that would be a cover for Washington anyway. So somebody's going to cover under that scenario, Kyle Roth. There would not be a push. So,
It's interesting you mentioned the tie because Donovan McNabb played for these two teams. Remember, didn't know there were ties in the NFL.
That's right. The Donovan McNabb villain. There is that as well.
How
we go
embarrassing
through.
Was that? Donovan McNabb?
Yeah.
Well, what a tool, okay? The reason that they lost that Super Bowl against the Patriots was Donovan McNabb. T.O.'s out there risking his life on a busted leg, and Donovan McNabb is puking in the huddle like the choking dog that he was.
Rush Limbaugh, ladies and gentlemen. So we move from there to the 4:25 game.
Don't fucking start with that.
We must move along to the 4:25 game here, the 4-1 Falcons at the 3-1 Seahawks, 4:25 Eastern Time. CenturyLink Field in Seattle on Fox. This is a game where Seattle is laying 6 points, has been pretty much the case all week. And this is one where, again, particularly in terms of the way that perception has turned around on the Falcons here, I really don't get the line because I agree with the proposition that Seattle is still a better team than Atlanta, but I'm surprised to see them laying 6. This is a why ask why special for me here. The line seems a little bit funky. Yeah, in terms of what I would think it would be, I'm going the other way on it. I'm taking Seattle laying the 6.
I love your instincts this year. I know the results haven't always been great, but I love your instincts at least. this is the rare publicly backed underdog. Atlanta's getting about 70% of the ticket right here. The line has actually crept up some, at least at some shops during the week. Seattle's off a bye. Historically, when they're laying less than 7 under Pete Carroll at home, they are a great, great bet. Atlanta, you got to wonder what they have left in the tank after beating last year's two Super Bowl teams. Back-to-back weeks, Carolina and Denver, wow. I just think Seattle is the better team, and they're going to show it on Sunday night. A rare 6-point favorite that gets a check mark for me. I take the Seahawks. Recommendation.
Very impressive open-mindedness, Kyle Ross. All right. The first of our six the first of our six remaining games here to go. Also at 4:25, it's the 4-1 Cowboys at the 3-1 Packers. 4:25 Eastern Time, Lambeau Field on Fox in Green Bay. It's Tom Brenneman, Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews on the hybrid number one team for Fox. This is a game where Green Bay is laying 3.5. Had been it opened at 4.5, so it's come down a little bit through the course of the week. What I come down to here in the end, Kyle Ross, in looking at this, is the start that the Cowboys have been off to, how well Dak Prescott has been able to play. In a large part, he is standing on the shoulders of Zeke Elliott and this offensive line. It's the running game that has allowed the passing game to find the open lanes, et cetera. Green Bay, this just in, is very hard to run on. You're not going to have that going for you if you're the Cowboys passing offense. I think that's enough in this one here to where I'm going to take Green Bay away in the 3.5.
I'm not going to recommend Green Bay, but I kind of want to. I've vacillated on this all week. They should have covered last week against the Giants. I mentioned that earlier. They really dominated that game. I'm not surprised, by the way, about this Dallas start and what you just talked about with the offensive line and the running game kind of carrying Prescott. That was the blueprint all year. I mean, the offensive line's been the strength of this team for years. So not surprised about the Cowboys. What I will point out here, and then we can move on, the look-ahead line for this game, which is posted before the results are in on Sunday, was 7 points. So, you know, that's pretty substantial to have a 3.5-point difference from that. So there is a little bit of value here in taking Green Bay, and I don't say that often when it comes to the chalk. So,
right.
I'm going to stop short of a recommendation, though, on Green Bay. Probably kick myself next week at this time when they've covered.
That's the Frank Costanza non-play. I stopped short. From there, we go to the Sunday night game. It's the 2-3 Colts at the 3-2 Texans, 8:30 Eastern time from NRG Stadium in Houston on NBC. Michael Collinsworth, the FOIA on the call. NRG Stadium, the site of Super Bowl 51, so which means, of course, this will be the one and only time that the Colts make that trip to NRG Stadium this year. Houston is laying 3 points in this one. For my pick in this game, I'm going to go to some reasoning that I used about 10 years ago when I was talking about the Browns' defense. I'm going to couch this in acting terms, Kyle Ross. Okay? Here's my acting analogy. The Texans are basically, in acting terms, a foil. Okay? They're not the story. Whoever they're playing is the story. Whoever they're playing is the lead of the story, essentially. When the Texans, they've shown this. When they're playing a good team, they don't look good. When they're playing a garbage team, they look a lot better. And, yeah, you could say that about a lot of teams in the league, but the Texans at this moment are the epitome, I think, of the foil in the NFL. They're playing a bad team. They're playing a team in disarray. Ryan Grigson sucks. This roster is not good. Ryan Grigson pointing the finger an awful lot at why it sucks inaccurately. Give me the Texans against the Colts team in disarray.
This is another favorite that I'm tempted to recommend. What is going on here? Indianapolis, I mentioned this in the Chicago discussion. They were outgained pretty substantially in victory last week. That's usually a sign to go against. But I'm just scared to lay points with a really bad Texans. I agree with you where the Texans are in the AFC pecking order. It's very predictable. They, you know, that's kind of why they always just win the weak division and then lose pretty quickly in the playoffs. I mean, that's their story. I mean, they're not a hard team to figure out in that regard. But I don't know if I want to lay points with an offense that is just so bad. And their offense is awful.
Yeah, but I don't have a lot of respect for the Colts defense, so that's what allows me to kind of say
I don't either. I don't either. I mean, it's kind of a – it's just – you know, it's kind of like that Washington-Philly game. I just – it's tough for me to endorse either team.
Right. I can understand that. Well, we've got a pick coming up here, the Monday night game, that I'm going to differentiate from my Big Three because there are a couple teams in my Big Three where I feel like they are due to bounce back, and I don't necessarily feel that the team – involved that's hosting this game is a team like that. That's why it's not a Big Three play. It's the 1-4 Jets at the 2-3 Cardinals, 8:30 Eastern time Monday night from University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona on ESPN. McDonough, Gruden, Salter's on the call. Here's what I'm talking about. Arizona is laying 8 points up from 6.5 initially. I look at the Cardinals at 2-3, but I don't look at them the way that I look at the Panthers and the way I look at the Bengals, where I say they're actually better than the record. The Cardinals are a team that has actually been kind of getting exposed a little bit this year. Again, you've been pointing out, as we've gone on through the season, you and I picked a little bit of a regression. I thought they'd still make the playoffs at 9-7, and they still may. But this is what I'm looking at here, right? The wise guys don't miss a thing. This line is at 8 points. When the wise guys, more than anybody else, are probably noticing all the deficiency with the Cardinals right about now. This is my second why ask why pick of the week. I'm on Arizona. I don't think they should be laying 8 points, even though I don't respect the Jets.
Oh, no. I pivoted wrong.
Kyle, I'm on the Cardinals. They shouldn't be laying 8. I feel strongly about it. Anytime I feel that strongly, I go against my instincts. I'm on the Cardinals.
Oh, you pivoted wrong here. You should have trusted your instincts. I'm on the Jets with a recommendation. I think that the public isn't – it's kind of like we talk about with the Saints, where they're just not caught up to the rest of people. The number is this high for a reason. It's because most people don't share the first half of the argument, are just waiting for Arizona to bounce back. The Jets are a team that has done very little this year. I mean, they've just got the one win. It was a Thursday nighter against Buffalo, kind of a close game. Again, they dominated, but it was so close. I just think they show up. They were actually pretty playing Pittsburgh pretty tough for a half last week on the road, and I'll take more than a touchdown. I'll take them.
Okay. All right. Well, for me, it's just when it gets to a threshold. I may dislike a line, but when I dislike a line so strongly, that's where I go the other way, and that's how much I dislike this line. I just don't trust my instincts when I hate a line that much.
I guess, like, that's the difference. This line does not surprise me at all. I mean, it's the freaking Jets.
Okay.
Who likes them right now? Except me.
That's true. That's a good point. We'll see how it plays out. We go to my big three, disappointingly 4-11 through the course of the year. But this is when you want to start doubling down on my big three picks, ladies and gentlemen. No question about it. We go to, first of all, the 2-3 Bengals at the 4-1 Patriots, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on CBS. Cast lounge guest, Ian Eagle, teaming with Dan Fouts and Evan Washburn. On this one, New England is laying 8.5 points, up from 7 in this one here. And this is one where, again, this would be a why ask why on the Patriots, except I kind of understand why the line is where it is, because everybody is so disproportionately down on the Bengals. And I emphasize the word disproportionately. The Bengals are the epitome of a team right now that is better than its record. They're going to cover the 8.5, and they're a live dog, not because the Patriots are necessarily vulnerable, but because the Bengals are better than you think they are, America.
See, I'm not sure about a bounce back for the Bengals. They've been pretty mediocre, I think. You know, like Houston, they're a team that kind of has its spot in the pecking order and doesn't deviate. But I view NFL teams kind of like stocks. I've made that argument before. And this is a buy low on the Bengals for me. The idea that they'd be getting this many points against anybody, obviously, if they're going to be getting this many points, it's going to be against a team like a New England on the road. But this spread was even higher earlier in the week. I thought it was insane. Almost everyone's taking the Patriots. This is a huge anti-public play for me. The Bengals are a recommendation. So, yes, start doubling down on Rick Morris's big three, people, especially this one, because I agree with it.
And the next one, because I think you're going to agree also, it's the 2-2 Chiefs at the 4-1 Raiders, 4:05 Eastern time, Oakland Alameda County Coliseum in Oakland on CBS. Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon on the call. Oakland is laying 1.5 in this one here, a short favorite. It's been fairly consistent through the course of the week.
I have breaking news.
Yeah.
That there's been a change in favoritism here during the show. The Chiefs are now favored in this game.
The Chiefs are? Yes, they are. Wow. Okay. All right, so it's now the Chiefs that are favored, which, wow, that's a dangerous thing because of what we've said earlier about where there's a change in there. But, hey, I already labeled this as one of my victory picks. I'm on Kansas City. This win-loss thing is due to end. Andy Reid off of a bye is very good. I picked the Raiders as a wild card team, which evens out for some of my other bad picks that I mentioned earlier on. But 5-1, that's a bubble, ladies and gentlemen, if you start making stock analogies right here. So give me the Chiefs to go in there and win this game. It wouldn't have been surprising for them to do so at the beginning of the year. And these two teams, I think, haven't changed sufficiently in how we view them that should be a surprise if they still did. Give me Kansas City now covering with the 1.5.
Yep, double down on Rick Morris' big three, folks. I'm on the Chiefs here as well. Difference between the changing favoritism here and the one with Eagles-Redskins. Eagles-Redskins, a total public move. This one, the ticket count doesn't reflect that. I think it's sharper money that's pushed Kansas City as favorite. And you took the words out of my mouth with the stock analogy. I talked about buy low on the Bengals with the last pick. This is sell high on the Raiders. All of their wins have been close. This is a 2-3 team and 4-1 clothing maybe. So, yep, Chiefs are my final recommendation of the week.
All right. Interesting clothing analogy there. We move to my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 6, 0-5 so far this year. It's the 1-4 Panthers at the 1-3 Saints, 1 o'clock Eastern time from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans on Fox. Sam Rosen, Daryl Moose Johnston, and the lovely Tandalora opening on this game. And this is a game where Carolina's just laying a flat kind of 3 points here. Looks like Cam Newton's going to be good to go once again. Again, the Panthers last week in a game where, again, for those of you who believe in fixes in the NFL, look at the way the Panthers came out against a bad Tampa Bay team. Nevertheless, I know you don't like me talking that way. My code word from now on is going to be Illuminati Special, and that game was an Illuminati Special, ladies and gentlemen. Not that I'm bitter about it, but it was. But it's not going to stop me from being on the Panthers. I'm just going to keep doubling down here until they prove me right. One of these two teams is better than their record. It's the Panthers. Are they going to go to 1-5 by losing to the Saints? I think not. The only thing that scares me is how easy this looks. Give me Carolina.
Fucking road favorite, Ricky, man. This is a
predictable
one for you.
Once again.
Yes, it's a predictable stay away for me because, yes, there is something to the fact that the Panthers – are probably better than their record. I'll tell you what, it wasn't the Illuminati or a fix. I mean, who are you, Alex Jones from that stupid-ass InfoWars website? I mean, are you fucking
Demons.
Kidding me? I'll tell you why the Panthers lost. They had fucking Derek Anderson as their starting quarterback. That horse manure.
He's awful.
Look, we thought the Panthers were a team that overachieved last year. We thought their floor was maybe 10-6. It's going to be a little bit lower, I guess, this year. One advantage for the Saints, besides home field, I'll say, is they're off a bye. The Panthers are on a short week, so I just wouldn't feel good about playing this game at all.
Yeah, I understand that. But again, a must-win if ever there was one. And, again, you've got to be really, really down on the Panthers to think they're not going to come through here. So I'm on the Panthers for my lock pick. My other picks in the big three, Kansas City and Cincinnati. Your picks, Kyle Rossi, rare. Road pick of, or I'm sorry, favorite, I should say, of Seattle. You've also got San Diego, Cincinnati, Miami, Cleveland, Kansas City, and the Jets. Did I miss anyone?
That sounds right.
All right. That's all your picks for the week here. A week when, again, the needle will keep pointing upwards for me, and it will also for Kyle Ross. I know that to be the case. And we'll be back to brag about it, of course, when we break down NFL Week 7 next week. So, Kyle Ross, my man, thank you for another great show. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out. FDH Lounge mini episode number 767, breaking down NFL Week 6.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.